I was going to say, forgive me for my casual appearance this morning. I was at the Festival of Nations interdenominational service this morning. It was wonderful. There was probably about 200 people there. The mayor was there. Dave Van Kesteren was there. Rick Nichols was there. And Kim Cooper, who was taking charge of the service. And I just pray that this will be an annual event. And I pray that you'll be there next year as they meet together in Chatham. There was a parade. I don't know if anybody saw the parade yesterday in Chatham, the Festival of Nations. I don't know how many nations we have represented. I heard somewhere 40, 50 nations. And it was a wonderful parade. But you know what? The church was not there, which I was a little saddened about. And I'm personally taking that on as a personal mandate that we need to change that. The Gay Pride Association were there with their flag and their colors and taking our rainbow and marching in the parade. And I looked and I looked, but I never saw a church. And I just pray that that changes. I want you to know the mayor is a believer. Did you know that? And there was a festival. Actually, this is his dream, his vision, to see this come back after some 20 years. For it to happen, there was a mayor's prayer breakfast in Wallaceburg not that long ago, and that the mayor endorsed, the mayor supported, the mayor brought prayer needs, and there were some counselors, even here in our ridings, that were kind of opposed to that. And I just want to encourage you, we need to pray for our mayor. Those of you that have accepted Christ into your life and it's your desire to live for Him, when you want to let your light shine and do as I just said this morning to the kids, it's not always easy. And so when you're in the limelight all the time, especially if you're in politics and you decide that you want to make Christ, you want Christ's guidance and leadership in your life and in the things that you do and say, it's not always easy. And so we need to pray. We need to pray for those that are in authority over us. Scripture tells us to do that. And so this morning, my message is really about we shall be like Him. And so that's why I'm dressed casual this morning. I was asked to pray at that service, and I didn't think a suit and tie would be that appropriate. So I just came right here. I told Pastor Bill I might be a little late. Sorry, George. I know I didn't get here as early as you expected me to be here, but I'm here. So I was told you can't be late twice, so I guess that means I got to finish on time. So let's get into it. You know, every animal on earth resembles its parents, right? I mean, ducklings look like the mother duck. Lambs look like the sheep that they came from. Calves look like the cow that gave birth to them. Children look like their parents. Some of you wish that wasn't true, but it is true. And even if you don't look alike, I mean, I met someone last weekend. I volunteered at Chatham Hope Haven, and I met a woman, and she said that she has a twin. And they when they were growing up, they dressed alike, and they thought alike, and they were very similar. But they did not look alike at all. They were not identical twins. But there is a way to tell, you know, who someone is related to through DNA today. So even though you're trying to hide the fact of what family you're from or who's you're related to, DNA will tell the truth. And so there's no way of getting away from it. And the scripture that we just looked at this morning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them." It's God's desire that we become like His Son. It's God's desire that we become like His Son. But you know, when God created Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve decided to take things into their own hands and go against what God wanted for them. And when they committed the sin, that image of God that was within them was no longer visible. That image was gone because they disobeyed God. You see, each of us have a choice. We have a choice. Either we're going to live unto ourselves and do what we want to do and make the choices that we want to make, or we can decide to live God's way and do what God wants us to do. It's a choice. It's a choice that we have. But it's because of the sin that there was that separation, just like when I held up that piece of paper in front of the mirror. That's the reason God sent Jesus. He said, I've got to redeem these people. I've got to bring them back to myself. I can't look upon sin. So I'm going to send my son, Jesus. And Jesus came to die in our place so that we could have forgiveness of sin. And now we have the opportunity of accepting him into our life and to reflect the glory of God wherever we go. Those of you that know me, you know that last year was a very bad year for me, health-wise. And I know of other people since that were sick and around the same time and are no longer here. And I said, God, why? God, why is my heart still beating? I don't know if you ever asked that question. God, why is my heart still beating? I'll tell you why. It's because God wants you to reflect his glory through your life. God is not finished with you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. That's why your heart is beating. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 8:29 says, it's God's intent for us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. I don't know about you, but if you get to be as old as I am, you start looking at the calendar, you realize that I have less time to live than I've already lived. Right? But, I mean, the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. And I don't know about you, but I think sometimes, what do I want to accomplish with the time that I have left in my life? You know, I heard a lot about saving for retirement, you know, so that you could, like, live the good life and just enjoy things, be happy, be comfortable, enjoy your retirement, not to have any worries, not to have any fears, spend all the time with the grandkids, never have to worry about money. Well, it might be a good life. But you know, that's not what God's looking at. God said, I want you to be like my son, Jesus. I want you to fulfill the plans and purposes that I have for your life. And the reason your heart is still beating is so that you can be like him and you could reflect his love to people with the time that you have left. We have been created to be like him. I mean, when I think about that, that just blows me away. Like, I have a hard time getting my head around that because I know myself better than anybody does. And I am so far from Jesus in that respect, to think that I could be like Jesus. Yet the scripture says, one day when we see him face to face, we will be like him. So what's happening now? Well, this is like boot camp, I suppose. This is like the training time when we've been given this amount of time. I don't know how much time you have. I don't know how much time I have. But it's to become more and more like Jesus each and every day so that when we see him, Scripture says we will be like him. God's working on you. God's working on me. There's still a lot of work to be done in my life. In 2 Corinthians, I'd like that to come up on the screen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the glory, the Lord's glory, are being transformed, are being changed, being, has not happened yet, it will be one day, into his likeness and ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This being talks of, this is a constant progression. It's not like you pray a prayer and you go to sleep and you wake up the next morning, oh wow, look at this, I've arrived. It's a continuous process. When I retired from Glad Tidings, my wife went through my bookshelf and tried to get me to get rid of a lot of books. She says, Ken, you're not going to need these books anymore. And we don't have any room. And we've just been having this conversation a little while ago about downsizing. If you're trying that, good luck with that. Good luck with that. This is one book that my wife never got her hands on, which I'm thankful for. I've had it for a number of years. It's a Max Lucado book. And it's entitled, Just Like Jesus. Just Like Jesus. He makes this statement in this book, God loves you just the way you are. But he refuses to leave you that way because he wants you to be like Jesus. He'll leave you the way you are if you want to be left alone. But that's not his number one plan for your life. It's for you to be like a son. The Bible teaches us that when we become Christians, when we accept Christ, he wants to shape us and mold us and make us more like his son. And so Max says in his book here, I want you just to pretend with me now. You're going to go to bed tonight. You're going to go to sleep. And when you wake up in the morning, Jesus has replaced his heart with your heart. Think about that for a moment. You live in the same house. You're going to eat the same cereal. You're going to put on your clothes like you always do. Those of you that have pain in your body right now, you'll still have the pain tomorrow. Your health will not change. Your circumstances will not change. Your schedule is not going to change. You're going to do the same thing you were going to do before Jesus gave you that heart transfer. Your problems are not solved. The only difference is that Jesus has replaced your heart with his heart. And you go about doing what you normally do. Do you think anybody would notice the change? Do you think anybody would notice the difference? How about your friends that you're going to meet tomorrow? How about those things that you're going to do? How about your enemies? When I got to Tecumseh Park, I noticed a couple of guys that were directing traffic, and I said, "I recognize you guys. These are a couple of guys that go to Chatham Hope Haven. They have no place to live. These guys live on the street. I don't know how they got a job today. They said they were just volunteering. They're not getting paid, but they're getting all the water they want to drink. I guess they'll get some food later." And they said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm here to pray at the Festival of Nations prayer, Festival of Nations celebration." And the thought went through my mind, I just hope when they've seen me at the Haven, that I did the best that I could to represent Jesus. Because here I am standing up in public praying. What are these guys going to think? It's a normal thought, right? And I hope sometimes that we all have those checks in our spirit. Because see, when Jesus wants to take over your life, He wants to change it from the inside out. And so my question is, I mean, we know that's not really going to happen. You go to bed tonight, you're going to wake up, you're still going to have your own heart. But what if Jesus put his heart in yours? Would there be any difference? You see, because Jesus is already living within us. The thing is, not everybody knows. Not everybody knows. And so God loves you. Look, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way because he wants you to be like his son, Jesus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. You say, well, how am I going to be made more like Jesus? Because that's what I want. You don't have to put your hand up, but that's what I want. How's he going to do it? For some of you, you've already gone through this. You've gone through some trials. You've gone through some difficulties. You've gone through some struggles. And you can say, God, why? Why are you allowing me? I'm one of your kids. Why are you allowing this to happen to me? Maybe it's through sickness, but I'll tell you, and you probably could come up here and say the same thing I'm going to say. And so when everything was going fine, when everything was going well, there's food on the table, there's shelter, there's a house to live in, your kids are healthy, you've got a job, or you've got a pension kicking in, you don't need Jesus. Let's be honest. We really don't need Jesus. But wait for something to happen that's negative. And you either turn your back completely from God, or you get closer to him. I want you to know he's never moved. God has never moved. He's still there. But you have tried to move a little closer to him. You know, we're humans. It's our nature. We get so busy, so occupied with different things. We move away. God says, I want to bring you closer to me. I'm going to allow some things to happen. I want you to know he doesn't cause these things to happen, but sometimes he allows them to happen. You know, put my phone back. When I text people, I get anxious if they don't respond right away. How about you? You send a text, you send an email. You want an answer right away. If they don't respond, what kind of email come in that answer? Many years ago, we sent a written letter, put it in the mailbox, and posted it there. Oh my goodness, how long did that take? One day, Scripture says we will be like him. Let's put it up on the screen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. One day we shall be like him. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus. God takes the initiative. He has started the work. He's begun a work in you. The bad news is that it's not completed yet. You're in transition. You're in a transformation process. You're like that caterpillar coming out of the cocoon, you know? You're in a transition. But it will happen. You are not going to stay the same as you are today if it's really your desire to be like Jesus. God guarantees the outcome here in this verse. He says, I will carry it out to completion. You're in the process. And one day, you will be like my son Jesus when you see him face to face. God causes all things to work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. The problem is, what we think is good is not what God thinks is good. You know, like we think the happy life and the money and all the food is the good life. God uses everything that happens to us to make us more Christ-like. And, you know, we need this time until he comes for us to build a relationship. I mean, I don't know about you, George and Donna, when you guys first met. Like, I don't know. We never talked about this, but was it like love at first sight? I tell you, it wasn't with my wife and I. She wanted absolutely nothing to do with me. When I saw her, I thought, wow. Yes, she wanted nothing to do with me. She thought I was, well, I won't tell you what she thought I was. But it took some time. We had to build up this relationship. And as we built up a relationship, to enjoy spending eternity not just with Christ but with each other. Think about it. We're going to spend eternity with each other. So you better start loving the ones that are sitting next to you and behind you and in front of you, because this is going to go on for a long, long time. One day we're going to be like him. Our goal of the Christian life is to know Christ and to be like him. That's God's purpose. That's God's plan. And I hope it's your desire, these words that we're going to sing on this next hymn, to be like Jesus. I hope that's the desire of your heart this morning. Let's pray. Father, we don't understand, Lord, why you want to have a relationship with us. We're sinners, but saved by grace. And God, we ask you to help us to become more like you each and every day. When we come in contact with people, and they hear what we say, when they see what we do, God, I hope that we can reflect your Son through our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Go now in the peace of Jesus. May you know his love. And may it be your desire to live for him and reflect his glory in your life today. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You are dismissed.